517 precincts in out of 3,630. So there's still quite a ways to go in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election that for some reason the entire country is watching tonight. We're going to be speaking with John Nichols, I hope, in the next hour about this Wisconsin race, which is turning into quite the nail biter. Oh, I should say, you're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and tonight, election watcher, watching these results coming out of Wisconsin and keeping an eye on the Twitter at the Brad Blog, where you can reach me, and on the bradblog.com chat room. So, where there is a very lively conversation going on, everybody behave. Nah, don't behave. Come on over there and say hello if you like. We are going to be speaking in a bit here with Tim DeChristopher, an American hero. Wait till you hear what his extraordinary story is. If you haven't heard about it, you are going to want to stay tuned. We're going to talk to him in a bit, and then no doubt back to Wisconsin with John Nichols. Got a couple of phone lines, though, I want to try to get to here before we move on. Dave in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Dave, what is on your mind, sir?
Hi, Brad. Not long ago, you were talking about getting money out of politics, which I totally agree
yes,
with.
Yes, please.
However, there's not going to be much that we can do to get the conservatives to agree to this sort of thing.
The right-wingers. They're not conservative, Dave. All right, go ahead.
Thank you. All right, I stand corrected.
All right.
However, first of all, the United States is the most conservative of all of the Western industrialized countries. There are unions in all the rest of the world that mm-hmm. I'm sure would be very happy to donate, and we wouldn't have to declare any of that money. Or perhaps we could set up corporations that could bring in money from the rest of the world. My point being this, a one-time deal, mm-hmm. if we could show the right-wingers that we could bring in money, you know, unannounced just like they can, and clobber them with it, maybe they would come to the negotiating table and say, you know what, maybe we should have some limits after all.
Now they'll just raise more money. But, hey, that's what democracy seems to look like right now in 2011.
Yikes.
It's all about the money. That's it. That's all that matters anymore. It's a pretty sad state of affairs. Dave, I appreciate
at least maybe people will learn not to pay attention to commercials now.
Yeah, well, no, they won't.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate your call. Let me get to Daryl in New Jersey. Daryl, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind?
I listened to that caller a couple of callers ago talking about activist judges, and there was something frighteningly Pavlovian about what he was saying. I mean, I wish, you know, maybe you could save us all some time and just have Frank Luntz on so he can give the message directly rather than have it parroted.
Yeah,
by the people who for all of you right-wingers out there or wannabe right-wingers, in fact, I don't even call them right-wingers because they just do the bidding of the oligarchs. I don't think they believe in anything. But for all of you right-wingers out there, just Google Frank Luntz and just look at some of the messaging he puts out and see if any of it sounds familiar, like the stuff that you hear rattling around in your own brain.
Activist judges, death tax instead of the estate tax. He is the guy who sets the message, who sets the words that these guys then repeat when they call into the talk show. And I'm glad to hear from them, frankly, because I love straightening them out. Because the fact of the matter is, they're not against activist judges. They're against judges that aren't activist right-wingers. That's the only thing they're against. But, that's it. Thanks, Daryl. I appreciate your call, brother. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. And let me get to Matthew here in San Francisco. Hey, Matthew, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What is on your mind, sir? A lot of guys calling in. We haven't had one woman call in here. What did I do to scare the 877-520-1150 if you're a woman? Anyway, Matthew, what's on your mind, brother?
Well, just getting what's wrong with liberal activist judges? Hello? I mean, I'm for it. Let's just not beat around. But the reason I called also was
I'm not for it. I'll just mention that.
Okay. I'll just say I am. Okay.
All right.
Or, you know,
that's your right.
I just think, you know, Wisconsin, I think, is a I'm in the legal industry. This is a perfect, like, a mock trial of seeing what the country's going to be in 2012. You're seeing all these, you know, conservative movement just getting everything they want, and people revolted by it. I mean, if there's a high turnout, is there a high turnout in tonight's vote?
Yeah, there has been. There's been reports all day of heavy turnout in districts, including in the Republican districts, as well as the Democratic districts. And I'll update you right now that the numbers are back to 50% to 50%, according to the computers, anyway, that are counting these paper ballots. And this, by the way, is within, Fond du Lac. Oh, careful there. Whatever you're doing, Matthew. I don't know what you're doing. Be careful. This is with...
the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, okay. All right. Be careful there. Not enough numbers are in. Some of the big Republican counties like Fond du Lac, Waukesha, those are going to go heavily probably for Prosser. So we can't make anything of these numbers right now. But anyway, you were saying.
Well, I think, you know, high turnout. I don't think we have a high motivated Republican Party in Wisconsin right now. So I would just think, you know, reading the tea leaves, that has to bode well for the Democrats.
Or may not be right about that. As I said, you may not have heard in the past hour that I talked to some folks out in Wisconsin, one in a very Republican area outside of Milwaukee. They said he said there was long lines there. We're getting reports of ballots running out in Fond du Lac, which, again, is another very Republican county. So we'll see. We'll see who's motivated. And you're right. This may well be a preview of what's to come in 2012, although I hope what it won't come is a 50-50 race, because those drive me nuts, since none of those ballots are actually counted by human beings. Hey, Matthew, thank you for the call, sir. Be careful out there on the bridge. All right. 877-520-1150 is our phone number, and I've got some items here. I hope I have time to get to them tonight. If we're going to have one of these nail biters, Lord only knows what could happen tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. But I've got some here. Let me see if I can grab. Let's see. Okay, just one example, because he had mentioned conservatives. Texas, they're supposed to be conservative, right? Well, this comes in today. The Texas House approved a budget Sunday that includes a provision requiring public colleges and universities with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual resource centers to spend an equal amount of state funds promoting family and traditional values. In other words, big government Republicans in Texas want to come in and want to tell colleges, universities, what they can and cannot teach and how they should teach it. Does that sound conservative to you? Republican Representative Wayne Christian's budget amendment was approved 110-24 by the Texas House late Friday, according to the Dallas Morning News. The budget bill is headed to the state Senate after the House passed it on Sunday. Christian defended his provision, saying it does not take away public colleges and universities' right to teach about alternative sexual behavior. According to his amendment, the colleges and universities would have to match every dollar spent on teaching about alternative sexual behavior with advocating heterosexual traditional values. But you see, the money that is being spent on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual resource centers is not spent to advocate it, is it? Every dollar spent on it, I guess, has to be advocating the gay lifestyle now. That's all there is to it, according to this congressman from Texas House. He says if they're going to pay for one, they need to balance it with the other. Big government Republicanism there for you. A budget amendment proposed by Democratic Rep. Garnett Coleman that would have required school districts to report incidents of harassment and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity was defeated by 97-49. There you go. Big government Republicanism. All right, you're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. It is election night in Wisconsin. We're going to keep our eyes on that. But when we come back, we're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back with Tim DeChristopher, American hero. You'll hear his extraordinary story. Stay ahead. You're not going to want to miss it. Brad in for Malloy. The law won for now, but we'll see what happens with my next guest. We are keeping our eyes on Wisconsin all night long. There's still not enough precincts in to really make anything of this yet. Pretty much deadlocked at 50-50 in Wisconsin in the Supreme Court race that the whole country is looking at. It's rather extraordinary. We will stay on this, and we'll be joined in the next hour by John Nichols, I believe, from Madison, if we can find him amongst the melee. And if you're in Madison, Wisconsin, get to your county headquarters. Watch them count. Count the votes. Make sure everything is on the up and up. All right, my next guest is Tim DeChristopher. In 2008, Tim was a student at the time. He was caught disrupting a federal auction of more than 100,000 acres of federal lands that were being sold off for oil and gas drilling under the Bush administration. This was in the waning days of the Bush administration, December of 2008. It was one of the last auctions at the very end of that administration, and after the rules had been rewritten for drilling on federal lands, he posed as a bidder and bought 22,000 acres but had no intent to pay for them. He was hoping to block the sale of the sale to the fossil fuel companies, and in December of 2008, he was charged with two felony counts for that act of brave civil disobedience. Last month, he was found guilty of both counts. He now faces the possibility of 10 years in federal jail as he and his lawyers prepare to appeal the verdict. He is, in my mind, an American hero. But let's get the story straight from him. Hey, Tim DeChristopher, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for all you have done. We have been covering your story at bradblog.com and on the Green News Report for the last 2 years, my friend. It's been remarkable. And you're now, are you out on the road talking about what has happened in this case? Or are you back preparing your appeal?
Not on the road, actually in upstate New York, and I just spoke tonight at Union College. Last night I was at Bard College. Tomorrow I'm going to Williams and then Worcester and Boston, and yeah, I'm hitting a bunch of schools before I end up at the PowerShift conference in a couple weeks.
All right, well, let's get an idea what it was you were doing at this auction, and before you tell us what you were thinking and how you came up with this idea, what were the rules that were changed at the last minute by the Bush administration as they were headed out the door that made all of this possible?
Well, most of them weren't new rules that they were enacting at the last. Some of it was that they were ignoring rules that were in place for a long time regarding communicating with other federal agencies. Like, they didn't really let the National Park Service know that they were going to drill for oil on these parcels right outside of Arches and Canyons last National Park. And they weren't following proper standards as far as the environmental impact statements or anything like that.
So they were changing, and your phone is breaking up there a little bit, but so they were changing the procedures that they would usually use for the auctions of federal lands?
Right, and it wasn't so much changing any rules, because that requires more of a process. It was more just ignoring the rules that were in place.
I see. All right. And this then allowed them to put up all of these federal lands for sale in December of 2008? In Utah, where you were a student at the time, what was the actual auction was in Utah, was it not?
Yeah, it was in Salt Lake City.
All right, and so you decided to go to this auction. Did you know when you went to this auction what it was you were going to be doing?
No, I was looking for any opportunity to stand in the way of this completely unjust and inappropriate auction, and thought that might be making a speech or yelling something or something like that, and I just walked in, and they asked me if I wanted to be a bidder, and then once I got inside, the opportunity kind of presented itself.
So you didn't even know you were going to do this until they asked you if you wanted to be a bidder?
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, once I signed up, it took me maybe a half an hour or so of weighing the consequences before I actually jumped in and started bidding.
Did you know what the consequences would be when you started bidding?
Not exactly, but I had a decent idea. You know, I just signed a piece of paper that said, I understand it's a federal offense to bid without the intent to pay. You know, so I knew that I would most likely be getting arrested and probably going to prison for it.
But you signed the paper saying I do understand this, and then how long did it take before you started to bid, Tim DeChristopher?
Well, it took about a half an hour when I was weighing the consequences and thinking, you know, if I do this, I'll go to prison for a couple of years, and that would certainly suck pretty bad, but it's something I could live with. But on the other hand, if I turn my back on this opportunity, and have to, you know, witness the human suffering that we're on track for with the climate crisis, knowing that I had something or some opportunity right there in front of me to do something about it, and I didn't take it, could I live with that? And, you know, finally just decided that I couldn't live with that weight on my conscience when I have to witness what we're on track for.
It's an amazing story. Tim, sit tight here. We're going to take a quick break here for the bottom of the hour. We will come back with Tim DeChristopher. You can get more information on his story at bidder70.org. That was his bidder number in this federal auction, this remarkable story. So more of Tim DeChristopher straight ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. And, yes, we have our eyes on Wisconsin at the same time. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead.
Once I rode that ribbon highway, I saw above me the endless sky. I saw below me a golden valley. Now this land was made for you and.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. We're covering, following a lot of stories tonight. Of course, the election in Wisconsin tonight, where I am told by DFA in, where is that? Not sure where that is, in somewhere. Democracy for America says they're out of ballots in some location and using touchscreen systems to cast votes in Wisconsin. That's not good. And at the same time, breaking news, Tokyo Electric Power is to inject nitrogen gas into the number one reactor tonight due to fear of explosion from hydrogen buildup. A lot going on. And at the same time, we are speaking to American hero Tim DeChristopher, bidder, B-I-D-D-E-R, 70, bidder70.org, where you can get more information on Tim and the fight that he is up against as he went to a federal land auction back in 2008 with no intention to buy, to actually pay for any of these lots that he was bidding on, but rather to keep them out of the hands of the fossil fuel companies in Utah that were hoping to buy them, to lease them, to drill on them for gas and oil in the waning days of the Bush administration. And Tim was charged with two felony counts, which he has now been found guilty of, but will be appealing. we hope, in the days ahead. Okay, Tim, so you got in there. You had no idea you were actually going to be bidding on these properties, but then you started doing so. Did you, what at the time that you were doing it, what was your actual hope? What was your hope that would come from bidding on these lands at this auction, Tim?
Well, my hope was that I could create enough chaos and enough confusion that it would delay things until the new presidential administration would come in and they would have a chance to actually reconsider what they were doing and reverse the auction. The head of the transition team, John Podesta, had already indicated in the New York Times that they were watching this auction, that they were opposed to it. They saw that it was illegitimate, but they weren't sure if there was anything they could do about it if it went through. So that was my goal, was to delay things for that 1 month that it would take for the new administration to come in, and that's exactly what happened. And then they did come in and reverse the auction and rescind not just the parcels that I won, but most of the other parcels as well. So in that respect, it was certainly effective. And then, it had a much bigger effect than I never really anticipated of inspiring all these other people and stimulating this public discourse about what our role as citizens should really be when our government is acting unjustly.
And so those parcels that you had bid on and that the prices were bid up on because you were there fake bidding, those were not put on the auction block? They were taken off the block after that?
Right. Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, you did the job. Well, but you're paying a steep price for that now because of these felony charges. How did the trial go? Did you feel you got a fair shake at trial, or were there some issues where you were not allowed to present the argument you might have liked to?
Well, there wasn't much that we were allowed to say during the trial. We were seriously restricted in the evidence that we could provide and the types of defense that we could use. The big thing was that we wanted to use the necessity defense, which is the argument that I was acting to prevent greater harm. So I wasn't really allowed to discuss my motives or anything like that.
And on what basis did they say that you could not use the necessity defense, that you were trying to stop a greater harm?
Basically just relied on precedent that said that generally political dissidents or civil disobedience cases cannot use the necessity defense. It's just kind of the evolution of our legal system to make sure that that kind of evidence can't be given to juries. And so basically we were restricted to what happened for 19th. We weren't allowed to talk about anything else. So the jury wasn't allowed to hear that the auction was later overturned because the government admitted their own crimes. And the jury wasn't allowed to hear that in the next couple of weeks I raised the money and offered it to the BLM, and they refused to take it.
You had raised the money to pay for these 22,000 acres?
Yes, I raised the money for the initial payments that were due up until that point.
But they did not?
Right. They didn't accept it because they said that I had already made it clear that I wasn't a bona fide bidder.
Okay, so at that point they didn't let you go ahead and buy these lots, even if you could have at that point. Very strange. Will this make up the basis of your appeal? Do you yet know what the basis of your appeal will be?
Well, we haven't made any decision to appeal. That's something that I still have to discuss with my legal team. And, you know, it's something that I've said that if I am going to have a good chance at appeals, especially if it's something that could set a precedent that would make it easier for other political dissidents to state their case before a jury, then it's certainly something I'd like to pursue. But if it's just going to be a delay, I'd rather kind of get it over with at this point. And that's yet to be decided. And, you know, even though, you know, there were a lot of things that most people view as injustices in this trial where the jury wasn't allowed to hear much evidence and they were really specifically repeatedly told that they weren't allowed to use their conscience in making their decision, that they weren't there to judge whether it was right or wrong. That's really the status quo for our legal system at this point. And so it may or may not be a successful appeal process because that's what our legal system has evolved into, where the jury is just there to really rubber stamp the decision that the government has already made.
Mm. Well, you're right. That may be what has come of our legal system, but it seems to me that the more your case is out in the news, you know, when you have these trials where you're able to make your case. I mean, you made a very powerful case after the conviction. Do we have that audio tone nearby? This was, Tim, this was you speaking, of course you know this because you were there, but this is after you came out of the trial, after the conviction on these two federal felonies, speaking to the crowd, speaking to the press, and supporters outside the courthouse.
What the world wanted to see was how you would react. And you all have reacted with joy and resolve. You've shown that your power will not be intimidated by any power that they have. And that's the most important thing that has happened here this week. Because everything that went on inside that building tried to convince me that I was alone and that I was weak. They tried to convince me that I was like a little finger out there on my own that can easily be broken. And all of you out here were the reminder for all of us that I wasn't just a finger all alone in there, but that I was connected to a hand with many fingers that could unite as one fist. And that fist could not be broken by the power that they have in there. That fist is not a symbol of violence. That fist is a symbol that we will not be misled into thinking we are alone. We will not be lied to and told we are weak. We will not be divided, and we will not back down. That fist is a symbol that we are connected and that we are powerful. It's a symbol that we hold true to our vision of a healthy and just world, and we are building the self-empowering movement to make it happen. All those authorities in there wanted me to think like a finger, but our children are calling to us to think like a fist. And we know that now I'll have to go to prison. We know that now that's the reality, but that's just the job that I have to do. That's the role that I face, and many before me have gone to jail for justice, and if we're going to achieve our vision, many after me will have to join me as well.
That was Tim DeChristopher speaking after his conviction in Salt Lake recently. I think that was last month on these two federal felony charges. Tim, has the community, the activist community, the environmental community, the climate change community, and the broader community, have they joined you? Have they joined you as the fist that you had hoped that they would? Do you feel like the people are out there and that they're with you, Tim?
Yeah, I've gotten a huge amount of support in this. It's something that I didn't really expect going into it. And I've really been overwhelmed by the quantity of support that I've gotten, by the consistency of that support, and how broad that support has been, that it really hasn't just been, you know, climate activists that supported me, but it's been all sorts of folks really from across the political spectrum that have supported me throughout this. And that's been really encouraging to see.
Have you considered a presidential pardon, Tim?
No, not seriously. I know that there's a Facebook cause or something like that for a presidential pardon, but it's not something that I think is worth the time. I mean, first off, I don't think it would happen, second, I almost think it would be a shame if Obama wasted the political capital on pardoning me when he's not willing to spend any political capital on pardoning my whole generation. And he's, you know, if he lifted my 2-year jail sentence but then condemned my whole generation to an unlivable future, which he seems to be doing by failing to stand up to the fossil fuel industry, you know, I think it would just be some screwy priorities for that.
Have you been sentenced now? Is it 2 years at this point that you would expect to serve if you do not appeal this case?
No, I haven't been sentenced. I go to sentencing on June 23rd, and the maximum would be 10 years. The U.S. Attorney's Office has indicated that they're not going to seek the maximum. It looks like they're probably going to seek about 2-3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still hard to tell where the judge is going to come down on that. I mean, there's so many influencing the sentencing decision, that it's just really just up to the judge, and I think he can justify whatever decision he makes.
Brother, I don't want you in jail.
All those broad factors.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they can justify whatever they want, of course, but I want you out here fighting with all of us. I don't want you behind bars. I hope you will consider appealing. How can people help you out, Tim DeChristopher, in this fight?
Well, I am still raising money for my legal defense fund. That can be found at bidder70.org. It's BIDDER70. That's my bid card number.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm raising money for the legal defense fund there. And thankfully, my main lawyers are volunteering their time. And so it's just providing for the other legal defenses and their legal support and to start the legal process. And you know, I'm also involved in other campaigns. So the organization I helped start, Peaceful Uprising. And that's at peacefuluprising.org, where folks can plug in all the things that are going on there. And I think that's the most important part, is encouraging more of these kinds of actions. And that's really what we're trying to do with Peaceful Uprising.
You're a courageous man, Tim DeChristopher. Please go to bidder70.org. That's BIDDER70.org to help in this effort, as well as peacefuluprising.org. If we don't do it, who will? Tim, really appreciate what you're doing and your fight for this country. Thank you, brother, and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. Man, what a story. The good guys, it's remarkable. It's remarkable what the good guys have to go through in this country to overcome the liars, the cheats, the frauds, these billionaires out there trying to tell the country that we've got no problems here. Sure, the thermometers may say one thing, but you can go and completely ignore that. It's all a hoax. It's all a fraud. It ain't a hoax. It ain't a fraud. And guys like Tim DeChristopher are paying the price for those lies. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Wisconsin, of course. Back to Wisconsin straight ahead. And your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. John Nichols will be joining us. John Nichols of The Nation will be joining us after the top of the hour, live from Madison, Wisconsin, as we continue to keep our eyes on this election coming in right now. Let's see, where are they? About a little bit more than 50% of the precincts are in, with David Prosser, the right-wing judge, friend of Scott Walker. He's up 51%. To 49% for Joanne Kloppenburg, the assistant DA, who has promised to be an independent judiciary member on the Supreme Court. If she were to win, it would change the balance of the court out there in Madison. David Prosser has said that he will help the Republican agenda along. He's going to be an activist judge for the right-wingers. 877-520-1150. Obviously, we'll talk about that and what it all means with John Nichols shortly when we have him, and we are keeping our eye on that race. I should note concerning that Tim DeChristopher interview, he's likely heading to jail at this point for those two felonies. Here we are a year later after the coal mine disaster, the Upper Big Branch mine disaster in West Virginia. No one has gone to jail. No one, to my knowledge, has been charged in that coal mine disaster where 29 people were killed a year ago today. Neither has anybody been charged in the BP mess either, despite the fact that 11 workers were killed on that plant. And in both cases, authorities investigating are finding that there was negligence, and but, you know, different rules. It's okay if you're an oil company, I guess, or a coal company, any kind of fossil fuel company. If you're merely a citizen committing civil disobedience, trying to hold off the sale of federal lands to these companies, and if you try and successfully succeed in keeping them from being sold to the fossil fuel companies, you'll go to jail in America, 2011. At least that was Tim DeChristopher's case. All right, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Mark in San Francisco, welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Hi, Brad. Thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. And if anything ever happens, Brad, I got your back, and I'll bring some of my union brothers to back me up.
Bless you, sir.
Anyway, I was at the Day of Action here in San Francisco, and we had, I heard, 5,000 people there. And it was a great turnout. But there's a movement going on in this country that I know the media is trying to suppress, but it's there, and it's growing, and it's going to grow more the more the Republican Party tries to push their agenda down the throats of the American people. And I have some hope, Brad, that we're going to get our justice from getting out in the streets and really telling this country how upset and how mad we are. We want our country back.
Well, Brad,
I don't know how it was in Los Angeles, but it was sure good in San Francisco. There was a lot of spirit.
Good to hear it. I'm glad to hear it, and I hope you're right, and I hope the rest of the country is seeing what these guys are up to, what they're about, what their agenda is. It is not what they ran on. You know, Scott Walker did not run on ending collective bargaining. He did not run on taking away freedoms from Americans. He did not run on exactly the same things that the Tea Party have accused the Obama of doing in the health care bill, legislating away freedoms. Obama didn't do that, and I have my problems with Obama, but he didn't do that. On the other hand, that's exactly what Scott Walker is trying to do up there in Wisconsin, trying to legislate away freedoms from Americans, freedom to collectively bargain, to fight for themselves, to try to level an unlevel playing field. Mark, I appreciate your call, brother, and all you're doing out there. Keep up the fight, my friend. When we come back, John Nichols from The Nation will be joining us as we keep our eyes on Wisconsin and much more of your calls the whole hour. 877-520-1150. You're listening to Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.